This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned earlier today, I continue my sermon series on 1 Corinthians, and as most of you know, for the past several Sundays, we've been working our way through 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7, where Paul has been focusing on God's gifts of marriage and sexuality. Yes, indeed, marriage and family are wonderful gifts of God, aren't they? In fact, God gives us many other wonderful gifts in this life as well. However, in today's reading, Paul stresses that we should not be so engrossed in these gifts that they take our focus off of God. Simply put, God is to be the central focus of our lives, and we should do all that we do to His glory because of His love for us in His Son Jesus. With that in mind, in verses 29 through 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul reminds us that the time is short. This means that whatever circumstances we are experiencing in the present, maybe they're good circumstances, we're happy and joyful and prosperous, or maybe they're horrible circumstances, we're sick or we're experiencing some other tragedy or loss. Whatever our present circumstances may be, those circumstances should be understood in terms of the fact that we live in a fallen world, and that this fallen world is passing away, and that our true home is eternal life in the new creation, where we will live forever with the God who created us and saved us. With that in mind, Paul begins today's reading from 1 Corinthians with these words. He says, "The time is short." Now, what does Paul mean by that? Well, he means at least two things. Here's the first thing it means. The time is short means that because we still live in a fallen world where the wages of sin is death, we Christians must live with the fact that life is frail, life is short, and that we could die at any time. In other words, no one of us here today can control where, when, or how we're going to die. Now, of course, many unbelievers also realize that life is short. They also realize that death can come to anyone at any time. However, many unbelievers respond to this fact with this kind of an attitude. They look at the frailty of life and they say, "Hey, you only live once. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If it feels good, do it, because tomorrow could be too late." You know, all these popular but sinful slogans and others like them have one thing in common. Live for yourself. That's right, life is supposedly about fulfilling any and every desire and doing whatever it takes to be happy. That's right, you've got to be happy at all costs, because before you know it, suffering and death may take it away. Many unbelievers not only think that life is about being selfish, in addition, many unbelievers also believe that there is no life after death, and there certainly is no judgment for sin after death. But my friends, they could not be more wrong. In contrast, we Christians know from God's Word that suffering and death were never meant to be part of this life in this world. Therefore, the reason we have suffering and death is that these are signs from God that something is wrong with the world. And of course, what's wrong with the world is our rebellion against God. Now, of course, the good news is that God, who had every right to judge us, instead sent His Son into the world to save us from our own rebellion against Him. God's Son suffered the judgment and the punishment that should have been ours so that we might be forgiven, that we might be reconciled to God and receive the hope of eternal life in a perfect world, which is what God intended in the beginning before our sin ruined everything. As Christians who are forgiven, as Christians who have the hope of eternal life, we know that our time in this fallen world is short. But instead of trying to cheat death by living for ourselves and satisfying our sinful desires before it's too late, no, instead we repent of our selfish rebellion against God. And we strive to honor Him by submitting to His loving plan for our lives and living to His glory in this world. In other words, because the time is short, we Christians don't want to waste what little time we have with selfishness and sin. Instead, we want to use every moment of every day in this life that God has given us to honor Him and to love others. We have so little time. Why waste it with sin and selfishness? Now please understand, I'm not saying that we can't take time for ourselves so that we can rest, so that we can enjoy God's good gifts. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we Christians don't make these gifts, we don't make pleasure the focus of our lives, because God should be the focus of our lives. With that understood, the second thing that is meant by the time is short is simply this. Christ could return for the final judgment at any moment. Now, even though Paul and the Corinthian Christians lived almost 2,000 years ago, Paul wanted them to live as though Christ could return at any moment. And even though we live almost 2,000 years later, we also should live as though Christ could return at any moment. But do we? Sadly, the devil tempts us to live as though our time is ours to do with as we please. In addition, the devil also tempts us to forget about God and the fact that we must answer to Him for how we live our lives. I'm afraid that we're all guilty of forgetting that the time is short. We're all guilty of living as though we're immortal and that death will never come to us. We're all guilty of living as though there is no God who actually sees our deeds and knows our every thought. But again, the good news is that when we recognize this, when we realize God knows my every deed, God knows my every thought, when we realize that we can't hide our sin from God, the good news is that we can come to God with our sinful desires and thoughts and words and deeds. We can come to Him with this ugliness and know that we are forgiven because of His Son's sacrifice for us. We can come to God with all our sin, knowing that He loves us with an everlasting love, and that our lives have meaning only when we do all that we do to His glory and according to His loving plan for our lives. My friends, as we daily focus on God and His Word, His love and wisdom will change the way we live our lives. That's why it's so important to be in the Word every day. It molds us and shapes us. As we focus on God and His Word every day, His love and wisdom will help us to remember that the time is short, and we will thereby be moved by His love and mercy to live accordingly. With all that in mind, Paul goes on to write the following. He says, "From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away." Now, what is Paul teaching us here? Well, first of all, that initial line, husbands should live as though they didn't have any wives, at first that shocks us. Is Paul saying that we Christian husbands should just ignore our wives and pretend they don't exist? No. This is the same Paul who taught us in the book of Ephesians that we husbands should love our wives as Christ loves the church. And obviously we can't do that if we're ignoring them. So what does Paul mean then? What Paul wants husbands to realize is that even though their wives are precious gifts from God whom they should love, they should not love their wives more than the Lord. The same goes for Christian wives. Christian wives, your husbands are gifts from God, but you should not love them more than the Lord, as though your spouse is the center of your life and your reason for living. In fact, death is the reality this side of heaven. Whenever a couple walks down the aisle to get married, they walk down the aisle realizing that one day, one has to stand at the graveside of the other. When we Christians get married, we know that one day death will separate us from our spouse. Even though the death of a spouse brings sorrow, we must remember that we still have God. Even though we grieve when our spouse dies, we must remember that God is our one true love. And He gives us reason for living. That takes us to the next point that Paul makes. He says that those who mourn should live as though they do not. In other words, even though we mourn greatly when a loved one dies, it could be a spouse, it could be a parent, it could be a child, it could be a friend, even though we mourn, we should not mourn as though we have lost all hope. You see, we Christians mourn in this life with the understanding that the time is short. That's right, one day Christ will return and He will wipe away every tear from our eyes and we will see our loved ones who have died in Christ. So even though we will mourn in this life when our loved ones die, we should not mourn as though we have lost all hope, because the Lord is with us. And He is our eternal hope. Paul then goes on to say that if we are happy today, we should live as though we're not. And we Americans really need to hear this. You see, we're blessed to live in a nation where we have it so good. By the mercy of God, many of us have happy days. Unlike people who live in third world countries, where every day life is a trial, every day life is a drudgery, every day there is loss and sadness and trial. We can't even begin to relate to that here in America. So Paul says, if you're happy, live as though you're not. In other words, even though God mercifully gives us times of happiness, we should not worship happiness as though happiness itself is the point of life. There are actually people in our world today who say, hey, if I can't be happy, I'd rather be dead. As though the whole point of life is being up all the time. Even though happiness is a gift from our loving God, we Christians should keep our focus on our God who gives us happiness. And as we focus on God, we need to repent of the times that we worship happiness as a false god. In fact, think about it. Sometimes we are so focused on happiness that we're even willing to sin in order to be happy, even though we grieve God's heart when we do it. Instead, we should thank God for the happiness He gives us. But then we should be sure to put our trust in God rather than our happy circumstances. Why? Because happy circumstances can change in a moment when pain and loss enter our lives. But here's the good news. even though happiness can be taken away in a moment, our loving God will never leave us or forsake us. In fact, God Himself allows us to suffer. Scripture is clear about that. Even though God gives us many days of happiness, thanks be to His name, Scripture is clear, at some point in time, God will allow you to suffer. It might be a different set of circumstances for each and every one of us, but none of us can avoid the fact that at some point in this life, we have to face suffering and trial. And when God does allow us to suffer, we must remember that this too is a gift, because He uses our suffering to draw us closer to Him. That was the whole point of the message of the sermon hymn we just sang. He uses suffering to draw us to our source of true joy. So when our happiness drains away because God allows us to experience some trial or tribulation, we can still have joy. We have joy because our sins are forgiven. We have joy because we know that God loves us. And we have joy because we know we have the hope of eternal life with Him, even in the face of death itself. Paul goes on to say that when we buy something, we should view that thing as though it were not ours to keep. In other words, the things of this world can be lost in a moment, can't they? A fire, theft, natural catastrophes, the loss of a job, and the need to sell things just to survive. Simply put, every time we buy something, we should remember that everything we have is a gift from God, and therefore we should not take it for granted because it could be lost in a moment. As Job wisely said, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Even more, every time we buy something, we should remember that all we really need is God. Americans really need to remember this. Americans have racked up credit card debt to the ceiling, trying to make themselves happy. But they're never happy, because they don't know, sadly, where true happiness is found. Whenever we buy something, we should remember that all we really need is God, all we really need is His love, because if we put our trust in material things, I promise you we're going to be utterly disappointed when we lose those things for various reasons. That's why Paul says this to us. He says, those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. Simply put, if we worship the gifts but ignore the giver, if we put our trust in stuff that we can buy, if we put our trust in people who die, then we will ultimately be very disappointed. Now, don't get me wrong, we can enjoy the people that God puts into our lives. We can enjoy the various material things that God mercifully gives to us. I'm not saying we can't enjoy these things as wonderful gifts, but we should not make those people and we should not make those things into false gods. We should not be engrossed in people. We should not be engrossed in things as though they were the center of our lives and as though they were our reason for living. Instead, our reason for living is God. Our reason for living is His love for us. God created us. And in addition, God sacrificed His only Son for us, even though we're the ones who rejected Him. God did this because He loves you, and He wants to be at the center of your life now and for all eternity. So, we Christians must always remember that the time is short. We should live every day with the knowledge that this day could be the day we die. We should live every day with the knowledge that this day could be the day Christ returns in glory. We should live every day with this knowledge and then rejoice because the God who wants to be at the center of our lives loves us dearly and He has saved us for eternal life in His love. That truth should affect the way we live our lives now. My fellow believers, even though we Christians know that the time is short, we do not live in fear. Instead, we live with the great joy of knowing that our sins are forgiven. We live with the great joy of knowing that God loves us dearly. And we live with the joy of knowing that death itself cannot harm us. And we can look forward to eternal life with our loving God. So with that in mind, I close with these words of Paul from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which you heard earlier. Listen carefully to these words of hope. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Amen.